Today is Power Trip Part 2. We're going to do, last week I talked about Power Trip. In this series, I'm talking about having the power of God to do what God told us. There's a slide that you can see up there. You see that hot rod car there? That's mine. And you can take a power trip in that one. I guarantee you. It's got plenty of horses underneath that hood. But that's an award-winning car. I've entered it in 3 different car shows, and I won every time with it. Daryl Starbird show down there at the Heaven in February downtown. Praise the Lord. Now, people are trying to live their lives and live for God even in their own strength and in their own reasoning. And they complain about God, life being so hard and so difficult. Well, I want to tell you what. If you're going to do it in your own strength, it's going to be hard and difficult. People always talk about all the trouble they got. There's a lot of us that remember when we didn't have power tools and we didn't have power appliances in the kitchen. How many here are old enough to remember if you were going to mash the potatoes, you had this deal and you did it yourself? Anybody remember that? How many ever remember if you were going to whip the whipping cream or mix anything, you had to, you hold on to it and you turn it like this? Yeah. You had power, all right, human power. When I was a kid, Grandpa and them took to get the firewood for the fireplace. It'd take 2 guys to go out, and they have what they call a crosscut saw, and you got one guy on one side and one on the other, and they pulling that thing back and forth. Anybody ever? And then they had to cut it into sections, and then you'd have to take an axe or a wedge and a sledgehammer and split it. Anybody remember that? It's a whole lot easier nowadays. They got power saws and they got splitters and chippers and all kinds of stuff, And if I would ask you, would you rather go back to the non-power days or go to the power days where we got all these power, I'm sure everybody is going to say, hey, let's go with the power. Amen. Well, I have good news for all of us. We have power that God has given to us. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We don't have to do it in our own energy. We have God's power that's available to us. Acts 1:8 says, but you, not your friend, not your brother, not somebody else, you shall. That's an emphatic statement. Shall means it's going to happen, right? Any of you remember when Mama said, and use your full name, you shall do it? Was there any question whether you were going to do it or not? No way. Uh-uh. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the Living Bible says it like this, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection. Jesus says here that we would be given a power. Now, in one of the other places, when he is talking about that he is going in John, when he said, I'm going to send another comforter, the word there, it means power. It's talking about the paraclete. It talks about the power of God, and it comes in several different forms. You know, it can help us in several different ways. But, you know, you have to realize that you have the power before you can ever take charge of it and use it. You know, there's some people that are just normally take charge people. I mean, even if they're not the one in charge and they see that something has to be done, they just grab it and start doing it. Some people say, well, they got their own power trip. I guess I'm sort of one of those guys, but if I'm around and there's a whole group of us standing around and something needs to be done, I just automatically take charge. You know, that's just, I just, somebody's got to do something. You know, somebody said, well, you're not in charge. I said, I may not be in charge, but somebody's got to do something, and the guy that's in charge ain't doing nothing, so I'm going to do it. Come on now. You know, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is there for us. The power of God is there for us, but we're going to have to step up and take charge and direct the power. See, power running wild is bad, but power harnessed in the right direction is great. Amen. You know, I see even Christians that are tapping into evil power. And you need to stay away from occult power. Even to try to solve their problems. You know, they're reading books and watch movies showing all kinds of cult power and think it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's the way the devil gets an open door into your mind to begin, not into your spirit, but into your mind to begin to give you a problem. You know, some people, some Christians even will, they mess with the Ouija boards, or however you pronounce it, tarot cards, horoscopes, astrology. You know, some Christians go every day and read the horoscope that's in the paper. You don't need to do that. That had got nothing, that's nothing to do with you as a child of God. If you want to read something about your future, go read the Word of God. Because that'll tell you that this is the day the Lord has made. You're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You're not going to have a sad day. You know, some people get involved with voodoo and white and black magic and seances and stuff. These things are dangerous. They open the door for depression and all kinds of things for the Satan to get involved, get you involved in his kingdom. That's one of the way he traps people and gets them out of the way. You know, Leviticus 19:31. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Leviticus 19:31. I'm reading the New King James. Okay, here he says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am your Lord God. We have no business playing around with those things. Familiar spirits are the enemy spirits that do know some things about you. That's why a tarot card or a Ouija board however you pronounce it. That's why those things can tell you some things, because familiar spirits know some things about you. Hello. You know, the enemy will try to trap you with his counterfeit. You know, Second Corinthians, he will use some of his messengers, even human messengers, to try to get people Look at 2 Corinthians 11:13. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Paul had to warn the Corinthian Christians about this. And we need to be aware of it today. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming them into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, the Message version says it like this. They're a sorry bunch, pseudo-apostles, lying preachers, crooked workers, posing as Christ agent, but sham to the core. And no wonder Satan does it all the time, dressing up as a beautiful angel of light, so it shouldn't surprise us when his servants masquerade as servants of God. But they're not getting by with it, anything. They'll pay for it in the end. You know, Satan will try to trip you up in every way. That's why you need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. I tell young people all the time, my dad told me this, if you have a question of whether you should do it or not, that don't do it. That's the Holy Spirit trying to help you. Hello. You know, Satan sends people in and among his flock, the flock of God, to deceive them. And actually, most of the time, these people sometimes get into leadership positions and they're manipulative. They manipulate people. They're super spiritual, or seem to be. And it's because they always want something from you. You know, I have a problem, and some people are going to get upset at me, but I believe in prosperity, and I believe in receiving from God, and I believe we can. But I get upset at these people that they take almost every scripture and turn it into a money scripture. Anybody ever notice that but me? Hello? The Bible, you need to take it in context. It ain't even talking about money. But they turn it around to be a money scripture. And if you ever notice, at the end of their message or whatever, they always take an offering and trying to manipulate you into giving. Now, I believe in giving. The Word of God talks about it. But if you ever notice, I don't take a long time taking offering. Because I don't believe in manipulating people into giving. I believe in telling them truth about what God's Word says. And if they get involved with it, it'll work for them. But all my persuasion, if they go ahead and do it just because I'm persuaded them to do it, it won't work. Don't look at me like that. I've been in this all my life, people. I've seen it from the word go. And I learned what I'm teaching to you from one of the greatest teachers of the Word of God that this the past century has known. And that's my father. He was as balanced as they come. He believed in giving, but not get over here. He believed in all of it, but don't get. In fact, in Harold wrote a book, the history book, what's it called? All Things Are Possible. He was writing a history book of the charismatic, and he mentioned everybody. And when he got to Kenneth Hagin, he said, "This is the most well-balanced teacher of the word in the charismatic movement. He has been the same since he started preaching till when he wrote the book there in mid-70s, and he stayed the same the whole time." We need to realize that Satan can implement some things that would make you think it's God. All you got to do is go to the Old Testament. Exodus 7. If you want to turn there. Starting with the 10th verse. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. And they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants and became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, every man threw down his rod, and they become serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up theirs. You know, it looked like the devil could stay with God. He could, right till the last part. You know, I had an entertainer say this. You know, I'm just saying what he said. And he had grown up in the church, and he knew what it was to be, what the power of God was. He said, when we're on the stage and involved, there is a power that helps us. That's what he said. Pseudo power, the power of the devil, but it can only go so far. We need to get on the power trip with the right power, knowing. You see, you know, we don't need, now a lot of people, oh, you start talking about evil powers, people get afraid. Talk about familiar spirits, people. No, don't get afraid. Just understand it. Know what it is. Know that the Word of God talks about it. And know that you have the greater power. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That's the power of the enemy. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then 1 John 4:4, greater you are of God, little children, have overcome him, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, sometimes when you start teaching like this, some people get a little quiet. But there haven't been a... Dad would teach about this. And there was some teaching. How many remember when there was some teaching about this back in the early charismatic days? But there hadn't been a lot of teaching about these things. And we need to realize that they are so... The devil has some power. If you don't believe it, you go over into some of the countries. And those witch doctors, they can do some things. Any of you ever been there where you've seen a witch doctor do some things? He can do some things. The medicine man can do some things. But it can only go so far. The power of God can always stop it and always will stop it. But when you are in those situations and you're dealing with those situations, you cannot become afraid in any shape, form, or fashion. You got to really, that's when you got to be bold. I was with my dad in 1958, just graduated from high school, in a room with a woman that was... Now there's a lot of people yielding to the devil, but when you're possessed of the devil, it's a different story. And I saw him. He put a lot of people out of the room. He said, y'all got to get out of here because y'all are too afraid. Man, he looked her straight in the eye. He never took his eyes off of her, and he was strong and bold and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And that thing said, I don't want to, in a funny voice. Later on, the woman talked, and it wasn't even her voice. I mean, it was using her voice. It was, and Dad just, holding her by the shoulder, said, I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And she screamed and fell to the floor. And in a moment, she opened her eyes and she said, "Where have I been?" Because that thing had completely controlled. But he told me, "Son, if you're dealing with the devil, you got to be bold and you can't be afraid, and you got to take charge." I've been there. I've seen the witch doctor cause things to raise off of the ground. That's the evil power in operation. But when the power of God is around, you can stop the power of the devil. I remember back in I wasn't there, but Dad told me this story, and you may have heard him relate it himself. He and another minister, actually, he was holding a revival for this pastor, and there was a guy in town, and he put up a tent, and people were flocking there, and he was doing all sorts of things, and so they went to the meeting. And they sat out in the back of the meeting. And sometimes these guys that do this, they're playing some kind of music in the background. Anyway, he was trying to operate and he wasn't being able to. They were sitting back there saying, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke devil power." And finally he got up and he said, "Hey, I can't operate. To those two guys right back there," and he pointed at Dad and this other pastor, "leave the building." Why couldn't he operate? Because they were sitting back there binding the power of the enemy. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but we need to realize that the enemy has power. I don't know, Craig probably can tell you about when he preaches, but he just had an experience where he, over there in Greece, or Albania, I guess it was, where he dealt with this. Charles Swindoll said, "There is no pressure. No pressure is greater than the power of God. Nothing is greater than the power of God. Nothing. Nothing. The power of God is sufficient to deliver you. The power of God is sufficient to bring whatever you need into your life." Amen. Smith Wigglesworth said, there is a place where God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reigns supreme. You know, when God started the church, the early church, he gave the power, his power to the church. See, Acts does not end with chapter 28. We call it the Acts of the early church. Actually, the Acts is still in existence. The church is still in existence today, and it will be in existence until Jesus comes and catches the church away. Excuse me. We need to realize that we need to be doing the same thing as the early church and the early apostles and disciples, not just the apostles. Excuse me. Anybody getting anything out of this? You see, Jesus was our example, was the church's example of what an individual anointed by the Holy Spirit could do. He lived for those 33 or 33 and a half years on the earth as a man. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. Now, if he was operating in his deity, God would not have to anointed him.
That's right. Amen.
But he was operating in his manhood. In his humanity would be another good word to say. And then the Apostle John, you go over and read in his epistles, and you'll find out that he tells us that we have been anointed. And all you got to do is go back and read what I started with. And the first, after you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be infused with power. How many of you got the Holy Spirit? How many of you got power? Amen. The power of God. You know, after, but you shall receive power. Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace upon them. When Peter was questioned, Acts chapter 4, the man at the gate called Beautiful. Remember it? Remember that story? And 4:7, and when they had set them in the midst of them, that is the Sanhedrin, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Because they knew it was a miracle. The man sat at that gate all the time. And now he had been running and leaping and walking up and down Solomon's porch there. So they could not deny it. And Peter said, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Yeah, but that was one of the apostles. But look here. Here's a guy by the name of Stephen. If you go read, he was just, actually they called them deacons. Back in the modern day church, people are using deacon for not what it was. You go read what the deacon was there to serve tables and to serve and so forth and so on. That's what he was. 6:8, Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He wasn't an apostle. He was just a disciple, a follower of Christ. Hello? Leonard Ravenhill said, but we do have the Holy Spirit power. Power that restricts the devil's power, pulls down strongholds, obtains promises. What has hell to fear other than God's anointed prayer-powered church? You got to realize the devil fears you when you're able to stand up for who you are in Christ with the power of God, because he knows that he's had it. But now he will do what he can to try to discourage you. And if fear comes in and you pull back, he will take advantage of you. You have to, when you come against Satan, you have to take advantage and keep the advantage. When I was playing football in high school, we go out there on that field and we take advantage of the other team. You can't let up. You got to, as they say, keep the pedal to the metal. I have seen so many teams get way ahead and say, oh, we got this and won. They let up. The other team come back and get them. Anybody ever seen that happen? Anybody ever played on a team where that happened? We probably all have. No. That happens to Christians all the time. They get the advantage of the enemy, but then they sort of rest there. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Instead of keep pounding. One time we was playing, And we was running 24 dive. And the coach said, and it was working every time. 3 to 5 yards every time we run it, sometimes more. He said, we're going to run 24 dive till they stop it. Amen. We ran 24 dive. 15 plays in a row. And they never stopped it. And we come back, and he'd run something else and come back to 24 dive. Why? Because that's where our advantage was, and he kept taking advantage of it. He kept taking advantage. Anybody knows you get 3 to 5 yards every time you run it, you're going to get a first down in 3 downs. Right? Come on now. We got to keep pressing the devil. When we get him on the run, keep him on the run. Don't let up. Don't even let him have a chance to catch his breath. You know, I was talking about there. The early church, the believers, and every generation has the power of God. The Apostle Paul said it, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. In much assurance, as you know, the kind of men we were among you for your sake. The same power that Paul is talking about is the same power that's available for us today. The problem today is too many people don't believe that we have the same power that they did then. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit did yesteryear, the Holy Spirit will do today if we will dare to step out and demand our authority in the power of God. I don't know about you, but it done got me happy. Smith Wigglesworth, quit quoting him again. The trouble is that we do not have the power. We do not have the power of God in full manifestation because of our finite thoughts. But as we go on and let God have his way, there is no limit to what our limitless God will do in response to a limitless faith. But you will never get anywhere except you are in constant pursuit of all of the power of God. Constant pursuit of all the power of God. Our faith is in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our trust is not in what we can do. Although we should be doing everything we can in the natural. Hooking up with the power of God. And that brings me back to my saying, and you all knew what it is, the natural and the supernatural coming together. Make the explosive force for God. It's not all man. It's not all God. It's both of us working together with the power of God. And we can do what needs to be done in our lives. We can help people around us in their lives. We can make the power of God real in this place if we will believe. Every time we come in that door, just don't come to church. Come to have the power of God in demonstration. First Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not word, but in power. The Holy Spirit gifts operate in the power. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, tongues interpretation. How? All by the power of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to get back to the power of God. I like that this morning as we begin to worship, everybody began to open up and you could see that the power of God was in this place. Yes. The power of God's in this place to set people free. Yes. We got to realize that the church has been given power. You have been given power. Power through the blood of Jesus. Power through the name of Jesus. Power to cause every promise of God to come to pass. Power through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to go on a power trip? You can tap in. We don't need any of that mess the devil has to offer. People trying to find out about their future. Hey, you can find out about your future right here in the Word of God. With the power of God. My future's in the power of God. Not in some board. Not in some tarot car. Not in somebody looking at the palm of my hand. That is all done by familiar spirits, which is part of the devil's kingdom. And we've been set to raise hell. R-A-Z-E means tear down. Tear down the devil's kingdom. I believe that we are in a time when we cannot settle for less than the power of God. There is no other power that can come against the power of God. Some people may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the last days, it would be exactly the way it is today. Men would turn to men, women would turn to women. All kinds of things. Anybody ever read it? How many of you have read it in there? That's exactly where we are. Friend, I want you to realize that the power of God is the only thing that will come against it. Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot even offered his daughters, but they were more interested in men and men. And God destroyed the place. And Lot came out. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to believe what the Bible says? Amen. And stand in the power of God? Amen. Somebody said, you're getting awful plain. It's about time that some preacher stood in the platform and in the pulpit and told it like it is. Power. You shall receive power. Hallelujah. I guess I need to do. I haven't done it in a while. I better do a series on the gifts and operations of the Spirit of God. I guess that'll be coming up sometime or another. I don't know when. You know, sometimes we ministers shy away from some things because we think y'all know it. But you may know it, but you need to be reminded of it. Hello? Thank God for the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Power. I just read there where they have power for gifts of healings. The Lord said, if there are people in here that need healing, get them down there. If you're in this place and you want healing, get down here and get down here in a hurry. Don't take your time getting here. Hallelujah. I've been talking about the power. Let's get in the power. Hallelujah. Get ready to receive. Get ready to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All of you that are staying in the congregation back there, I want you to begin, if you have the Holy Spirit, I want you to begin to pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing slow, about four times, something faster. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all in the congregation, you can stand up. I see people coming out of the balcony for the healing line. Ushers, help them as they come down those stairs. Thank you, Jesus. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to receive. Get ready to receive. Get ready to receive. Get ready to receive. Thank you. life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The anointing was strong in here. Hallelujah. Some people, I touch them, they go, "Wow." You see, the power of God is like the wind. You don't see it. You see the result of it. You feel it. That's why they jump sometimes. That's why they holler. And that's why some people fall down. Somebody said, "Well, why do they fall down?" Well, when the natural comes in contact with the supernatural power, something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be the natural. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You that were just down here, if you can check yourself right now, check yourself right now if you can. And let me know, are you healed? Are you healed? Check yourself. I'm not talking about five. I'm not talking about your believing. I'm talking about, raise your hand, wave it all over. Where are you at? Okay. There's hands over there. There's hands there. There's hands here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. How many of you can check yourself and you know that you're quite better than you were when you, let me see your hands. Hallelujah. In the Word of God, it says some were healed instantly, some were healed as they went, and some began to amend from that hour. Began to amend from that hour. They just kept getting better and better and better until they were completely well. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to minister that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you happen to be in this congregation right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or if you're in this place and you know what it is to serve God, but you know that you're not doing right, you're not living where you need to live, and you need to rededicate yourself to God. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Ushers, help me. If there are any hands anywhere, I believe that somebody said there's a hand here. I see that one. There's a hand over here. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anywhere? In this upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, anywhere. Raise your hand right now. You need Jesus. You need to receive Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life. Hallelujah. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit power. You say, "I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm saved. But I have never received the Holy Spirit." And I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. Could care less about that. I'm talking about what the Bible said. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you would say, "I want to receive that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit today." Anybody, anywhere, let me see your hand. There's hands going up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and get down here to the front right now. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Come on now. Come on now. There were several hands that were raised. There were several hands that were raised. Come right here. Stand right there. God bless you. Come on. Come on, everybody. There were several hands that were raised. Don't sit back there. Come on. Come on. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. Come on right now. Come to receive. God bless you, man. Come to change your life forever. God bless you. Thanks for bringing her. God bless you. Come on. There were several hands raised. I'm going to wait a moment. I'm going to wait on you. Anybody coming out of the balcony that you know of? There were some other hands raised. I'm waiting. And actually, there's some people that didn't raise their hand that need to come. I'm going to wait a minute. I'm going to wait a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right. Guys, I got three books in my hand. Oh, here comes another one. Glory, glory. We'll wait. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, here comes some over here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're never too old. You're never too young to receive Christ. Come on, everybody. Come on, guys. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, bless you, bless you. Bless you, man. Praise God. Just stay right there with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. I got in my hand three books right here. New Birth in Him, telling you about who you are in Christ, and little book, Why Tongues, telling you about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I put these books out here and said, I'm going to give them to you, yeah, you get them. You just rub it out. That's what you're supposed to do. All y'all going to get them same books in a minute, okay? Y'all all going to get them same books. I just did that as an exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. It comes from God. As she reached her hand out there, I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one it is, just one of them. You in the congregation, I want you to reach your hands toward these people, and I want you to pray for them right now as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every spiritual need in these lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. And ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth. Got those books. We call it a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world's that? Well, that's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God if you need to, okay? So would you just see Greg right there? Would you follow him to that place of prayer right now? Would you just go right there and follow him to that place of prayer? Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Power of God. It's all the power of God. It's not man, it's God. It's God and his power. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise God. If you weren't here last Sunday and didn't get power trip number one, it would probably be a good idea to either get a CD of it or a DVD of it. It's in the bookstore back there. I'm not trying to sell DVDs or CDs, but I just know that if you'd like the whole series, you need to go there and do it. Hallelujah. Remember all of our announcements, okay? Hey, as you're praying this week, pray for camp meeting. I just believe that the camp meeting is going to be extra special this year, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to that special place where they can get that special gift that we put together for them. Go find connection team. Find our first-time guests right now. Praise the Lord. We must be going east. You're headed that direction. Staff, go to the doors. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember all the announcements? Hey, fill out those registration forms for camp meeting. Remember, we need you that are approved workers. We need you. We need people in every area. Thank you, Jesus. We dismiss around here by singing a chorus, and I'm going to be flying down that aisle over there, so y'all better watch me, because I'm coming your direction, because I'm trying to get, I try to get there before people get out. They're already leaving on me right now. Hallelujah. We'll see y'all tonight, 6 o'clock right here, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, hour of power. God bless. Come believing. Come expecting. Bring somebody with you. Pray for camp meeting.
Lift it up. He defeated.